Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be no benediction this evening. This coming Thursday is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. There will be a high Mass at 9 a.m. This coming Friday is the Feast of the Seven Sorrows for Blessed Virgin Mary. There will be a high Mass at 9 a.m. Thank you to all the volunteers who came yesterday and helped us with our open house. We believe that you benefited from it as much as our guests did. And we are very grateful for all of your help. We couldn't have done it without you. Also this week, there are some feast days that we haven't mentioned, such as today, which is a feast of St. Nicholas of Tolentino. Tomorrow is a commemoration of Saints Protus and Hyacinth. And on Saturday is the feast of Saints Cornelius and Cyprian. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and such like. And concerning these, I warn you, as I have warned you, that they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such things there is no law. And they who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 33. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life a greater thing than the food, and the body than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? But which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature a single cubit? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which flourishes today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. How much more you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what are we to put on? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So notice it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his justice. That means his holiness. Seek his holiness. Try to be holy like God is. We know there are many people here who are very intelligent, or at least you are have a great deal of knowledge. But the question is, of what is your knowledge . Remember that we were put on this star. That's what we look like to the rest of the universe. The earth looks like a star. Remember that we were put on this star just for a moment. Blink of an eye. Not even that compared to eternity, right? That's how long we are here. And then go to heaven. So the knowledge that is the most important knowledge is that of how to get to heaven, not how to live on this star for a blink of an eye. How can those two completely different sciences be compared to each other? We know, of course, that the knowledge that you have, that you use to make a living, to get through your day, is important. It's important to know how to put food on the table. But how can that compare to the knowledge that we need to reach God? No comparison, is there? Perhaps you think that you already have that in the bag, how to get to God. And so, no need for further study. But if you don't have it up here, in here, if you don't have what you need to get to heaven, then we presume that you spend time every day learning what it is that you need to do every day. Today's Mass, the proper for today's Mass, is very instructive. If you pay attention, you can learn much. The introit starts out the Mass by recalling that our desire is to see the face of Christ. And his glory, which is beyond all understanding. And we have told you before, and we repeat, that we hope that you think often of what that will be like. We know we cannot imagine it, but it's important to think of that. The same way, only much more so, the way you would think about something that you're looking forward to in this world. How much more should we look forward to the next and think of it often? Then we have the collect, which reminds us that we are in constant need of God's mercy. At every single moment, we need His mercy. Not because we're sinning at every moment, although not maybe too far from that, but we need His mercy to continually give us the grace we need. That comes from His mercy. And then we have the epistle. St. Paul says to walk in the Spirit. That means to always live our lives by the guidance of the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit. Always go throughout your day being guided by the Holy Ghost. And then he says, if you do this, you will not be guilty of any serious sins. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Ghost is always, if you're always listening, will never be guilty of any serious sins. Great goal, isn't it? And he gives, unfortunately, some information that we probably know already, and that is that we cannot, it is impossible for us to avoid completely temptation. We always will have temptation. The saints had it. Right up to their death, they were tempted. This is good also, isn't it? Because we are soldiers, aren't we? So we must fight always. And he tells us the sins, a list of them, not all of them, but a partial list of all the sins that will keep us from entering heaven. Frightening thought, isn't it? Good to remember what those sins are. It always frightens us when we are tempted like that, because we think not only would we lose His grace, but we may not ever regain it. Frightens us. Helps us to avoid temptation and sin. Remember to avoid temptation whenever you can. Then, after he gives us a list, partial list of the things that will keep us from heaven, he gives us a beautiful and consoling contrast. He could have listed for us the virtues that oppose those sins. Remember what a virtue is? From the Latin virtus, it's power. Power for good. That's what a virtue is. Power for good. So he could have listed the virtues that are opposed to those sins, but he doesn't do that. He goes a step farther. He lists the fruits of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you don't remember what fruits are, the fruits of the Holy Ghost. But that comes directly from the Holy Ghost. He calls them the fruits. So they're like the fruits that we have on our table. They are sweet. And what are they? They are the results of our virtues. The acts that we perform. When we have the virtues, they are inside of us. They are in our souls. But then when they come out, that's an act of virtue. Now that's not completely exactly what a fruit is. The fruit is the enjoyment of that act. So we say a fruit is the development of a virtue and the performance of that virtue. It's when we have reached a certain degree of perfection and the enjoyment that comes from that act of perfection. That's a fruit. Food for our souls. To make us enjoy practicing virtue. It is not the Beatitudes. That's even higher. That's what the saints practice. That's Saint Lawrence. Turn me over, I'm done on this side. That's the Beatitudes. Or Saint Ignatius, who could not wait to be eaten by the lions. Saint Ignatius of Antioch. Those are the Beatitudes. Or Saint Francis de Sales. Remember, all that was necessary to win his favor was to offend him. You were friends for life. And he was one of the most angry men ever. Terrible anger. But he so overcame his anger that he became blessed. Blessed are the meek. St. Francis de Sales. But the fruits are the sweetness, the results from an act of virtue. And it is even possible to taste the fruits of the Holy Ghost, even sometimes when we haven't reached a high level of perfection. And we are thinking of an example. St. John Gualbert, remember? You remember his story. He was hunting the man who had killed his brother. And he finally cornered him. And it was on Good Friday, and the man knelt down and spread out his arms, and he said, "Spare me in honor of the Passion of Christ." And St. John, when he was ready to kill this man, picked him up and embraced him. And so you can see, he had not reached a high level of perfection. And yet he was given this fruit. Can anyone doubt that he was given great sweetness from embracing this man? So it can happen to even the imperfect, such as you and me. Remember that the fruits are not the virtues. So what are some of the fruits? Charity. Sounds like a virtue, doesn't it? So there's the virtue of charity, and then there's the fruit of charity. the sweetness that comes to us when we practice charity. There's the fruit of faith. It's not the virtue. It's the result of the practice of faith when we have reached a certain degree of perfection. At first it is difficult, as we know, to practice virtue, but after time it becomes very easy, doesn't it? So sometimes even to resist temptation, which is very vehement, becomes enjoyable. Now the gospel for today, we read these magnificent words of Christ our Savior, some of the most beautiful words ever uttered, even by God Himself. So much so that even many non-believers love these words and they praise them. People who don't even believe as you and I do. That's how great they are. They do not condemn the rich and they don't praise the poor. What do? They condemn solicitude for earthly things. And so our Lord says, "O you of little faith." Because you see, if a person sees reality through the eyes of faith, it changes everything. Because then we are always aware that God is here, that we are in His hand. And we don't need to worry about anything on earth. Just heaven. We almost never pray for anything here. Because to us it just seems logical. Why pray for things here on earth? And we don't think that our attitude is so far off. We don't condemn people who pray for things, and occasionally we may say, if you feel that this is necessary, then do it. There's our prayer. Please do it, if you want it. We never prayed for a successful surgery last spring. We don't ever remember praying once for a successful surgery. We prayed that we could go to heaven. Forgive our sin, my sins. Take me to heaven. It seems logical to us. And we don't think we are too far off. You remember the story of the apostles getting into the boat and crossing the lake? And the storm comes up and they thought, we are finished. We are going to die. And they wake up our Lord and Savior, who's sleeping in the boat. Imagine Him sleeping in this storm. They said, "Is it of no concern of yours that we are perishing?" Remember His response? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Because faith changes the way we see everything. There's another reason why we should practice faith. Because our merit will be great in heaven. Imagine the difference between living your whole day or your whole life without remembering that what your purpose is here, why you are doing these things. Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you go to work? Why do you eat? And you do all of these things with faith or without, remembering that you're doing them for God or just doing them because you have to do them. How much more merit will you have? How much greater will be your glory in heaven if you live your days in faith? One more reason why it's important for you to have faith, so that you can become like God. Don't you want to be like God? So that everything that you desire happens. Everything that you want comes to you. Isn't that what happens with God? Whatever God wants, he gets. And that can be you. There was a farmer many years ago whose crops were always better than his neighbor's crops. And they said to him, "Why is it that your crops are always better than ours?" He said, "Because the weather is always exactly the way I want it. I always get the weather I want." And they said, "That's impossible." He said, "No, it isn't." He said, "I always will whatever God wills." And as a result, God gives me everything I need as a reward. Because whatever God wills, that's what I want. And so you see, brethren, that you can be just like God, getting everything that you want. So is our Blessed Mother. She always willed exactly what God willed. That's how she became the Mother of God. So we pray for you today that you become like God. And God bless you.